This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
This morning I'll be speaking, I'll be encouraging us. And the word of God that I heard around 4 a.m. The Lord said, weep no more. And I find that word a bit strange at first, because I know for sure that we are in a happy place. Things are good. And when I say that, it is not to invalidate personal challenges that we face. It is because I know the Lord Himself told me, I am in the midst of you and I am your joy. He said that to me just a few days ago when I was on the flight to Abuja. So I know that He's in the midst of us and it's our joy. However, He painted a picture to me that made me realize the context in which he was speaking. 1 Samuel chapter 16. The context of decisions made, repercussions or consequences that we are facing, and sometimes a bit of regret or a bit of pain. You're on the call right now, faithful in service to the Lord, fully loved by God, but to have a heavy heart. This may be true because of something you did that didn't end or give you the result you desire. Maybe you invested and the investment didn't pan out. Maybe you invested in a marriage and the partner you are investing with in the marriage suddenly lost interest in the investment and decided to cash out or just walk away. Maybe you are building up hopes based on the word of God or the promises of God as regarding maybe getting settled or having a child or getting a job or for healing. And it seems there's a bit of a delay. It's a continuum. Time is never ending. A lot of us, because of how we are built, we do not consider that even though there may be dry days, in just a few more days, there will be very wet days. The cycle of life goes on. A day came, God chose for himself a king in Israel. And God said to Samuel, this man is my choice. A few months later, God came to Samuel and God said, why are you crying? Why are you weeping all night over Saul? I have rejected him. That same day, I told him, go ahead and anoint somebody else as king. God has moved on. But sometimes it takes, there's what we call time lag, where a decision is taken on the first of the month, and we don't see the effect of that decision for several other weeks or months. We saw it happen to Daniel when the Lord had already answered his prayer and God has moved on. But the answer to the prayer did not get to him until several days later. And the execution of that answer did not come until several years later. Daniel was praying about Israel and the restoration of Israel back to their homeland. That was his prayer. That was his earnest desire. He said he read in the book of Jeremiah that God said they were going to spend 70 years. And they had spent the 70 years. He himself came into Babylon a teenager. By the time he was praying, Daniel was well above 80 years old. Because 70 years had passed and he came in as a rude 16 or 15-year-old teenager into Babylon. So he was already in his 80s. When he was praying, and yet there was a bit of a delay. But God's word will never fail. Be strong and be courageous. Wipe your tears. There are brighter days ahead. That you have not seen the manifestation of certain things does not mean that the prayers have not been answered. It does not mean it at all. In fact, oftentimes you pray, God has given an okay or a yes directly to you, and then because of time lag, on this realm, there is something called time lag. Because we have to deal with the effect of gravity, the slow response of the material world to a spiritual instruction, because it takes time. When you read the book of Genesis and said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, that came. And then he said, let there be trees and let there be grass. All of us will assume all of them are just sprouting. Pa, 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 pa. And in 1 second, everything was built up. Not so. Not so. If you understand how life and nature works, you realize that God will speak, but nature then takes its time to produce, to yield what God says. You understand it. It's not supposed to be a fight. It's not supposed to be an argument. It's not supposed to be a theological debate. We know that there is always that time lag in between what God wants to do and when it is done. Unto us a child is born. It took several years for the child to be born. The Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world took some time before the Lamb understood and walked into that purpose. Even at the last minute, the Lamb was praying that God should take away the cup. There is always a time lag. Now, some of you may say, oh, but I've seen instant miracles. Oh, there are so many instant miracles. And the reason there was no time lag in those ones was because those things that we are trusting God for were already either present or ought not to be. Somebody is sick. There are two types of sicknesses. There's a demonic influence, there's a demonic sickness. Not all sicknesses are demonic. And when somebody is sick and it is demonic, one time just say, get out. The demon leave. Then the person begin to jump and run. And you see that, oh, wow, this person is now fine. Why? Because the demon was not supposed to be in his body. Bodies, human bodies were not made for demons to dwell in. So demons are strangers. The Bible said the strangers shall run out of their hiding places. They are strangers. So you just tell them to go, they go. So then that person is healed instantly. But another person is also sick in that place. And this person, the sickness is of another type, has no demonic connotation. Could be self-injury. Could be somebody that is taking some drugs and has problems with controlling his own will, his own appetite. They pray for a gluten. Pray, say in the name of Jesus, I cast out the spirit. The person says, well, I'm not, it's not spirit that is making me a gluten. I just can't control. I just like food too much. Nobody can stop it not to eat too. No, I came to this life once and everything that so what do we do? And then the person's mother or father will come and meet you and say, but you prayed for this child, but you have not stopped eating. Come on. That has nothing to do with prayer. It's a question of discipline. And so to take some time working on the mind of this person, showing the person the dangers and the pain that he or she is causing himself for you to see the answer. And when we look at it, we cannot compare both. I met somebody who had a demon in him, in her, that was making her eat like I don't even know how to compare it. She was eating, and I was like, why are you eating like this? Suddenly I realized it was a demon. I said, no human being, even the greediest person in the world, cannot eat the way you are eating. Because we are walking down a street, we are driving down a street, and there are four restaurants, and she stopped at all four. So it was one driving. She stopped at the first restaurant. She ordered pounded yam and what? She ate it. We got in the car to drive on. Then she found herself, said, oh, I have a craving for. And then she stopped again and she bought and she ate. And then she, and I, by the time we got to the first place, I said, oh, no. No, anybody does not have the capacity to eat the way you are eating. There must be a sickness. This is not greed. This is a demon. So you cast that out. And after that, things became normal. But there are some people, you will know that they just have a love for it. You cannot compare the two cases. So for the one that has an evil spirit in him, when you cast out the spirit, the body resets itself immediately and the person is healed instantly. But for the other person, you would have to then talk to the person. You have to then build up the person's will. You have to then build up the person's mind. You have to then fill the person with the Holy Spirit. You have to then direct the person's mind away from the triggers into the things that will make the person do the right things. So that will now cause some time lag. So you cannot take the two cases at the same point. God said to Hannah, Eli said to Hannah, let us answer your prayer. Hannah received it with joy. She went home. That same year, she was pregnant. Elisha told the Shunammite woman, oh, by this time next year, time of man, you will have a baby. Come, she received. Well, God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And she waited many years. There was a time lag. And the reason for that was because there was a purpose to Abraham's life. that needed to be established before we would give back to his son. Somebody that is coming from a pagan background that we want to teach the way of the Lord in Christianity. Let me say that again. Imagine that you see somebody that was born into a Muslim background or into a demonic worshipping background. The person one day met with the Lord, becomes a Christian, and God tells the person, you are going to be a global evangelist. You are going to take the gospel of Jesus all over the world. It is not the day the person hears this from the Lord that the person will begin to go all over the world. Because as he was when he heard the promise, was still a novice. He doesn't even know scripture, doesn't know the Bible, has not mastered the realm of the spirit, doesn't know how to cast out demons, doesn't everything an evangelist is supposed to be able to do, he wouldn't be able to do them. He is yet to be trained in the way of the Lord. So sometimes people will come at you and say, God gave me this word in 2005 and it came to fulfillment in 2025. Ah, glory to God. You see the time lag because there is a training process involved. There is a training process. There is a mind modification. There is an equipping to be done. There is a gleaning process. There is a learning process. There is a growth process. Otherwise, you give the person the microphone too soon, and the person begins to blab. Person cannot. That's why Apostle Paul said, do not be quick to lay your hands on untrained vessels. Commission them into ministry when they do not have the ability to go into ministry. So there is this time lag. So why would you be crying when you know the answer has been given, but there is a process to go through? I want to be a doctor, does not become a doctor in one day. I want to be a lawyer, does not become a lawyer in one day. I want to be a mother, does not become a mother in one day. It's a process. It's a process. Sometimes when we cry for the things that God has already done. But because we've not seen the manifestation, we grow weary and we weep over nothing. However, if God has given you something good, and it is good and excellent, and somehow you lost it, and you feel bad about it, you're crying, you're weeping, you're like, oh, this is my fault, I messed up. Ah, well. Let me also say this. So forgive yourself. Wipe your tears. There is a brighter tomorrow. You see, we do not die or come into permanent failure because of one or two mistakes. In this part of life where we walk, if we are determined that we are going to walk without any mistake, life is too volatile, too unpredictable. There are so many things, so many factors, so many things going on the right and the left, all about you at the same time. Everybody. Billions, maybe 8 billion people now, 8 billion people waking up every day, trying to make their own way. It is random chaos. Everybody wakes up in the morning, they are going to work. Thousands of people, All of them are not going to the same office. They aren't going to do the same job. This one is going to do this. This one is going to do that. This one is going to do this. This one is going to do that. This one is also looking to get married. This one is looking to get a girlfriend. This one is going to get a boyfriend. This one is looking to get into school. This one, everybody pursuing their goals in this life. Put it together and look at it. It will seem as if you are looking at a colony of ants. I think ants are even more organized. Because they will line up and they will face a purpose. We are all, everybody going their random path. That's how we are. So there's too much chaos on this path of life. If you compare it to eternity, there is so much stability. There was only one time, maybe twice in scripture, where there was disruptions in heaven. The first time, Lucifer wanted to go to heaven to challenge God. The second time, Jesus died, rose up from the dead, and ascended. Those two times were the only times when heaven would say, our normal routine was interrupted. They had the most consistent government. And they've had the most consistent system of governance and life ever. They have the most consistent workforce. All angels know their duty. There is no chaos. Heaven is super organized, unpredictable. But our end is not. Which then means, because you are on this end and something didn't work out your way, does not mean that that's a permanent end, or that there is no light at the next turn. You do a project, it didn't work out, you will do others. I remember reading the testimony of Tyler Perry when he started with the idea of community drama, and he said they did the first one, he failed. They did the second one, it failed. They did the third one because of that one. He joined the local church, or he tried to make sure that at least church members will come, people will come. Eventually, because he persisted, he had the breakthrough. You must learn. And you must come to a place of understanding as it regards to human life and how a believer is supposed to handle it. Why we are not supposed to be flippant and uncaring about things that happened to us, or that we did, which didn't work out well, or that we see as obvious goofs or mistakes that we made. Why we are not supposed to be, we are expected to be remorseful sometimes to be introspective, sometimes to reconsider the steps we took and to learn from them. While we have to consider all these things, we do them within a reasonable period of time, and then we move on. We wipe our tears. We take a good shower. We dress up. Even though the spirit may be heavy, we move the spirit. We move the spirit. We get in the car. We take a drive. We take a long walk. We go to the gym. We exercise. We do these things. We make sure that we keep moving. Do not stay too long on one mountain. The mountain of regret is not a place where somebody sits for many years. When things happen, either you are culpable or you are wrong or you are wronged. Let's say somebody did something to you. Dwelling on it does not help you. As they say in today's language, you take your L or you take your sub. You take it, look at it, you put it behind you, and you move upward and forward. This is how to live. As a man of God that we all know, that even though I'm not very close to him, I study him from afar. God born again very young. Began to minister very young. Began to minister with a team, not by himself. Had always grown with a team of five or six or seven of them from Assemblies of God Church. And then to a household of God, Archbishop Blessing the Osas Church, and then to Epoma. And then eventually, pattern of race happened among them. Some left for another country. Okay, so all the time there was no money. Every time I look at all the negative things that happened, and the fact that through it all, the Holy Spirit has been consistent in his work with him, but he still experienced the life. He experienced it. Some of the things I learned from him was his resilience, how he doesn't allow things to affect the mandate that God gave him. Does not allow public opinion to shape the mandate that God gave him. Does not allow people to so people would go out and write outright articles, insults, and remark. The people will write all sorts. I don't think there's a man of God that people don't write negative things about. People will write all sorts, but all of them will keep their eyes on the goal. They don't allow it. And yet, I've seen people that a little bit of criticism, they stopped the work that they were doing. They stopped the work of ministry. I've seen pastors who their church members said negative things to, and they resigned as pastors. And they said they are not doing anymore. He said they just couldn't take it. I'm like, why? Those people are ingrates. And years later, they come to me for prayer, and then they tell me, I used to be a minister, I used to be a pastor, but the people, I can't cope, I can't bear it. There. And I'll ask them again, do you have any regret this year? Yes, but I can't go back there. I'm saying to you, it is why we call it life. It is why we call it life. It has to be lived for it to be meaningful. If you don't live it, it will be meaningless. Living it means waking up, facing your goal, and then putting in the work to achieve your goal. That is what it means to live. Wake up. Today, these are my goals. I'm going to achieve all my goals. You do that day in, day out. That is what we call living. That's when you say, you are living a good life. That's what it means to live a good life. But that you are living it, then something happens. Oh, there's a sack letter, or there is a doctor's report, or there is an emotional stuff, or your girlfriend said, I'm no longer doing, or your husband says, I'm moving on, or you have to part ways, and somebody has to travel abroad, and all these curveballs of life come, and then you give up. Why? And then you give up. You sit down in one place, said, I don't have the strength to go on. I just feel like dying. No. That means you have now chosen not to live that life. He said, I've come that they may have life, that they may live that life more abundantly, that they may live the higher kind of life. So this is my admonition to you. Weep no more. Wipe your tears. Put on your gear. Put it on. Lift your legs and your arms and shake your body. Shake your body like Samson. Shake it. Power is available. And then tear the Philistines to pieces. Fulfill that mandate. Fulfill it. Be encouraged in the Lord. Like David, encourage yourself in the Lord. Be encouraged in the Lord and then get on that horse and ride it again. I declare that every spirit of heaviness lifts. I rebuke heaviness from among you. I rebuke tears and sorrow from among you. You are the flock of the Lord, and the good shepherd is guiding you. I rebuke every form of weights. Weights, I rebuke them. I declare you are free. I declare you are full of joy. I declare your tears are wiped away. Joy has come. This is the morning. Joy has come. Thank you, Father, for it is so. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're blessed, please shout, glory.
Glory, glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and tips.